as best we can how they happen, using Luke as our guide. Last time we began talking about some of the miracles and teachings that were done near Galilee. We talked about Jesus' rejection in Nazareth. We talked about the nobleman's son. He healed him. We talked about him making a move to Capernaum. We talked about that and it became his base there. And a couple more other healings. And today we're going to start with the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. It's found in three different texts. But after our last reading, after leaving the synagogue, Jesus goes to Simon Peter's house. And again, he's not assembled his apostles at this point, but he does know him. He's met Simon Peter. He goes to Simon Peter's house, and Simon's mother-in-law was ill with high fever, or great fever. So those of Simon's house asked Jesus about the condition that she's in. And once again, we see the authority of Jesus as he rebukes the fever. You know, he's brought out demons and so forth, but here he's bringing out a fever, bacteria, healing this without medicines. Takes her by the hand, lifts her up, and again, the fever immediately leaves her. See, it doesn't take time. You know, a lot of times we get healed from our sickness, it takes a few days for us to recover. This is immediate. There's no long recovery period. Simon's mother-in-law is immediately arises and begins to serve her guests. And by that evening, everyone who's had someone sick brings that person to Jesus. Word gets out. And so basically, we're going to see the whole city turning out that night. And he heals all sorts of diseases. He casts out many demons. The book of Matthew points out that this was fulfilled, that this actually fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy. We'll see that. The demons cried out that Jesus was the Christ, that Jesus was the Son of God as he cast them out. But Jesus quiets them. He doesn't allow them to speak anymore about this matter. Knowing that these demons were from Satan, we should wonder why they were so eager to even announce who Jesus was. They should be against that. But Jesus has no interest in witnesses to himself from evil sources, even though what they cried out was very accurate. With that, let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. Begin at verse 14. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. And so he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness." And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Turn over to Mark chapter 1. Again, here we're in Matthew chapter 9 because Matthew's not written in chronological order. In Mark, we still haven't made that a chapter 1 yet. It's the shortest of the four Gospels. Mark chapter 1, begin at verse 29. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So a little more information here. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. And so he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Luke chapter 4. Verse 38 beginning. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever. And they made requests to him concerning her. And so he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Any comments about that section? Next in the order, we're going to see that Jesus is going to go on a tour of Galilee. We're going to see after a long night and a short rest, and he's been healing all these people. Jesus arose before dawn for a solitary place outside of town where he's going to find a place to pray. Jesus was always known for praying. It was a while before the disciples found him. And they told him that everyone in town was looking for him. Of course, he'd been healing all these people, casting out demons. The whole town's looking for him. The book of Luke notes that a crowd from town followed as well. But rather than returning to Capernaum, Jesus said that they needed to visit other towns. Again, his purpose was to preach, and he couldn't do this or accomplish this in just one town. He had to spread out, go to the people. So the crowd tried to prevent Jesus from leaving, but he left away preaching about the kingdom and synagogues all throughout Galilee. The book of Matthew notes that he continued to heal people of every sort of disease and to cast out demons. And the variety of healings being done is important to note. There's a variance of it. Many modern-day healers we see on TV, we hear about, will only attempt to heal certain ailments, ones that can't really easily be proven. They can be easily faked or not verified, where the disease existed or whether it was healed or not. Jesus' healings show no limitations. Word spread so that people from surrounding areas and countries are coming to him so they can be healed. And the fact of the continual crowds indicates that Jesus' healings were genuine. These are true. These are right. And as Jesus travels, large crowds follow him wherever he journeys. Matthew chapter 4. Begin at verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. So as we see, his fame is getting pretty significant here. It's just his first year of his teaching. Mark chapter 1. And don't forget, there was no phones, there was no internet, there's no nothing like that. The word is spread by mouth about this man. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Luke chapter 4. We'll begin at verse 42. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. Any comments about this section? So he's done quite a bit of things already. He's met a few of his future apostles, but he's not formally called the first one yet. Have you noticed that? All that he's done so far. So sometimes we assume that he kind of starts off, the first thing he does is he gets his disciples together as apostles, but that's not so. But now we're going to see where he first calls his disciples. Again, this is not calling all 12. He calls some at a time. Fishers of men. It's apparent that the disciples, again, did not follow Jesus constantly while he was touring Galilee. While Matthew and Mark record the calling of the first four apostles, we're going to see that the book of Luke actually tells us of the events that lead up to that call as we read this section. A large crowd follows Jesus to hear his teachings, and as he's walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, which is also known as Gennesaret, or Chinnereth, or Tiberias, various names for this area, seeing two empty boats, he found Simon Peter and his brother Andrew nearby. They were washing their nets. They'd just been fishing all night long. Nearby, Jesus also finds James and John. These are the sons of Zebedee. And they were sitting with their father and with the hired servants, and they were mending their nets as well. They'd been out fishing. Luke mentions that they were partners in the fishing business with Peter. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. Let's see that. So these four men knew each other. They were business partners as well. Luke chapter 5, we begin at verse 9. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. So they were business partners with this. Like Andrew, or Peter and Andrew, we know that John had already met with Jesus. We covered that earlier, back when John the Baptist was preaching. So Jesus climbs into the boat that belongs to Peter, and from this platform he begins to teach the multitude of people who are following him. Again, these great crowds are following, he's teaching them. When he finishes, he asks Peter to row out into the deeper water and throw out the nets and see what he can catch. Again, he's been out there all night. Fishing on the Sea of Galilee is usually, again, done at night. Fishermen carry lanterns or torches, and the light attracts the fish near the boats. And they can throw their nets out, and they get this great heap of fish. Peter points out that the fishing wasn't very good at this time, that they'd been out all night prior, and they hadn't caught anything, no luck. However, Jesus, because Jesus asked him, he would put out the nets where Jesus points out to him. And the resulting catch was so large that the nets threatened to break. So they have to signal to James and John, again, their partners, to bring out their boats as well. They were out too far to call. So many fish were hauled into the boats, and both boats were overfilled, that they came near to sinking. It's a great host of fish. As if Peter had not in the past had great evidence of Jesus' power, this miracle stuns him more than others. This miracle involved his trade. He knew his trade. He knew what he did. He was greatly familiar with it. And he knew how impossible it was for this to happen. He'd spent it all night long. This was not something that could happen. So he fell down before Jesus and declares his unworthiness to be a follower of Jesus. And Jesus tells him and the other three, don't be afraid, for they would now be fishing for men. And that is, they were to catch men for the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Again, Jesus, being a master teacher, was able to relate things to people, things in their everyday lives, and bring it to them so they can understand better. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, begin at verse 20. Again, this idea of being fishers and men or finding souls. Verse 20. That's verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. And to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to men, that I might by all means save some. So Paul understood this concept of being a fisherman as well, fishing for men. Again, the implication is that the Lord would see to it that they would have similar results in this new trade as they had observed in their fishing trade. Once their boats were brought back in, they left everything to follow Jesus. Not only did they leave their equipment, but they also left this largest catch they'd ever seen ever. Most likely, everything was left in the care of Zebedee. Again, their father, James and John's father. Let's read the accounts of this. Matthew chapter 4. Again, Matthew's account doesn't give us very many details. Matthew 4, we get verse 18. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, cast in a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Again, it's when he put those two groups of people together. It's kind of, he gets two, walks some more, and gets two more. Mark chapter 1. verse 16. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. And then over to the book of Luke, chapter 5. We'll begin at verse 1. And so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. More details. Otherwise, we thought they were mending the nets. At this point, they're washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all, and they followed him. Any comments about that section? Next, we're going to see the healing of the leper. This is told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke as well. Matthew tells us that Jesus had climbed a mountain, and as he was descending it along with a multitude of people following him, that a leper approaches him. Luke just mentions that it was near an unspecified town. But Matthew's account mentions he later enters Capernaum. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8 and see that. Again, Matthew's naming a specific area. Luke does not. It's the same event. Now we're going to read Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4 in a minute. But right now let's go to verse 5 after the part we're going to read. And it says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him." So the point is, after that event, as far as Matthew's account tells us that. And so many, because of this, there's a lot of commentators who assume that the town this happened was Capernaum. But as we know, Matthew's account is not told in order like Luke's is. And so the events which start in verse 5 actually parallel with Luke chapter 7, as we'll see. And so we can't say for certain which town it was near, but at the end of the day, it's the event that matters. The man had heard of Jesus' miracles and bound before him declares that if Jesus was willing, he could make him clean. And Jesus replies that he is willing. So he touches him, something that a Jew would not do because the man was unclean. He actually touches this leprous man. But at Jesus' touch, again, he immediately becomes clean. There's no waiting period. Jesus is going to tell him not to tell anyone, but to go straight to the priests and to tell them and make the offerings for cleansing. Let's turn to Leviticus and see this. It's a little bit of a lengthy reading. But again, he just wants to be healed. And Jesus immediately heals him, touches him, heals him. And then Jesus tells him, don't tell anybody, but go to the priests and let them make offerings. Let's see what's involved. This is not a small task, is my point. Let's see how big a task this actually is with someone who's leprous. What is Jesus actually saying to him when he says, go to the priests? Leviticus chapter 14, begin at verse 2. And again, pay attention to what's involved in the time period here. Let's start verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper. For the day of his cleansing, he should be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. He who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash himself in water, and he may be clean. After that, he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside the tent for 7 days. But on the 7th day, he shall shave all the hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows. All his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. On the 8th day, he shall take 2 male lambs without blemish, 1 ewe lamb of the 1st year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and 1 log of oil. Then the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest shall take 1 male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering, and 1 log of oil, and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering in a holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. The priest shall take some blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it to the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle some of the oil with the finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil in his hand, the priest shall put some on the tip of his right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. Then the priest shall offer the sin offering and make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Afterward, he shall kill the burnt offering, and the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar, so the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. The next part there goes with someone who's poor as the same thing. Look, Paul is involved with this. That's what Jesus is asking him to do. And he's already been healed. But despite this order that Jesus gave him, word travels quickly because the man cannot contain the news. Turn to Mark chapter 1 real quick. Mark 1 verse 45. We're told here, however, he went out and he began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. So again, Jesus seems to be kind of wanting to calm this down so he can preach. That's why he came, was to preach. It could have been, again, that Jesus didn't want the man to tell of his healing until it was verified by the priest, this process that we've talked about. Because some may not believe he was fully healed until that process had been done. That's what they've been taught their whole lives. Again, without the testimony of the priests, it was only one man's word. And if the truth verified, news of what happened would make even a more powerful impact. But we also see again the results of the man's proclamation. The crowds begin to gather in such numbers that Jesus cannot enter town anymore without being mobbed. People came to both hear Jesus' teaching, but also to have their own people healed of their diseases. And so Jesus had to spend more time in deserted places, as we're going to see, places to cut down on the number of people who are following him. So he's having to kind of avoid people rather than go to them, which is what the opposite of what he wants to do. Matthew chapter 8, we'll see the account of this. Verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Again, immediately. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way. Show yourself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. That's all we just read. Mark chapter 1. Begin at verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer your cleansing of those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, that they came to him from every direction. Luke chapter 5. Begin verse 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And he put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Next section is kind of lengthy too, so we're going to stop there. We're doing some more healings in future lessons. Any comments about that section or about the lesson? Thank you.